Blog Talk Radio.
To the Frontier Beyond Fear. This is your host, Susan Laris and Dance, and I'm speaking to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest today as I look out on the forest, and actually quite a sunny day here today. And I'm actually fresh inside from working in my garden this morning, so really, really feel refreshed coming into today's show, having spent some time out in nature. And I know many of us are getting out more in the springtime. Today, I have really quite a special guest. Her name is Margaret Ann Lembo. And Margaret, I am so looking forward to talking with Margaret because she is going to teach us about crystals and stones and what they really mean in our lives, as well as talk to us about some other things like aromatherapy, and she's involved in all kinds of spiritual pursuits. She is the owner of the Crystal Garden Bookstore, which is a spiritual center in Boynton Beach, Florida, which I understand is in the Miami area. And she's had this store since August 1988. And she is also the author of the upcoming children/beginners book. I will say it's written for children, but it's also written for beginners. Color Your Life with Crystals, Your First Guide to Crystals, Colors, and Chakras. She also has another upcoming book, which is a comprehensive handbook called The Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals, and Stones. And quite the prolific writer, Margaret. She has a 2012 book that was out called Chakra Awakening, Transform Your Reality Using Crystals, Colors, Aromatherapy, and the Power of Positive Thought, which has received multiple awards. And she's the co-creator of a set of angel gemstone oracle cards, also produced recently. So she has been very busy. And just this introduction, it's an amazing amount of things that Margaret has been involved in. She is an ordained minister. She's a healer. She's a motivational speaker. She has been facilitating workshops, classes, weddings, lessons, and private sessions for over 21 years. And she is a recording artist. She's done color meditations and other types of meditations. She's a regression therapist, which is interesting, an angel guide communicator, a certified angel therapy practitioner, and she's the president of the Coalition of Visionary Resources. And the list goes on. I invite you to visit Margaret's website, which is margaretannlembo.com, which is on the show page today. If you have a question for Margaret today, we will be taking calls. That number is 310-807-5104. And there's also an open chat room today, should you want to come in there and join with the community there and enter any questions you might have, because I would be happy to convey those to Margaret. So after quite the lengthy introduction, because she's involved in so many interesting things, I am so delighted to welcome Margaret on the show. Hello, Margaret. I've got to catch my breath after that.
Well, thank you so much, Susan, for having me on your show. I love to hear my own accolades. It's just so conceited of me, isn't it?
You know what? I have come. It's funny. This came up in another context this week. There is a real balance, isn't there? I think Spirit wants us to celebrate the things that we're contributing in the world while still staying out of that ego space. So, you know, there's such a balance of joy as we're walking our path, isn't there?
There is, and I think that joy is a much better way of saying it than conceited, because it is. It's being joyful in all that I do. I really love what I do on the planet. I'm grateful I get to do what I do.
Well, I'm just so impressed that you've been doing this for so very long, because so many of us, in fact, I gave you a brief glimpse before the show, we've come to this path fairly recently, or through a lot of quite a tumultuous journey, which was certainly mine, because I came out of evangelical Christianity, and I'm still learning. I am so loving the guests coming on my show, because they are teaching me as much as the audience, because I want to learn about all these things.
Well, I'm so glad to contribute to that. I have always been in a more metaphysical frame, mm-hmm. or spiritually aligned frame, but I also come from a very Christian, Catholic background, and, mm-hmm. and enjoyed my Catholicism while I was growing up in it, and also came from the corporate world. So I get to blend my business acumen with spirituality, and I love doing that too.
Yeah, well, I relate to that too. So how did you get started with your store, Margaret? Can you tell us how you came to this path? Because anyone who starts a store like that, that's quite a brave, and it's an endeavor that many of us I know have emulated. And I'm curious, how did this all come to be for you?
Well, see, that's the thing. I feel divinely tricked into it, to be honest with you. I don't know how brave it was. It was one of those moments in time where I had been in a 12-year, very lucrative mortgage banking career, senior VP of a big region, and had a great life and enjoyed what I was doing. I really liked helping people get into their homes. It was very rewarding. And the stock market crash of 1987 catapulted me out of the banking and finance background that was my primary come-from place, and into not knowing this. I had to not know what to do. It was quite a dark night of the soul, and I had an awareness, a remembrance that I've always wanted. I always wanted to start a very unique gift shop, possibly bookstore, with unique items, and that people would walk in, it would smell good, and they'd leave feeling better after they shopped at my little store. But I didn't think that I was going to continue doing it forever. I thought it would just be like until I got my next big job.
Yeah. No, I that's common. And I was in the corporate world too, so I can relate to this. And it's true, when you first start out, you're not sure if you're staying on the path, or you might even fall off of it briefly. I've known people who've done that, but then it doesn't resonate. If you were to fall back into that old life, it once you're on a higher path, or really on the path of your passion, it's hard to do that. And so I can certainly relate to, and including your dark night of the soul. I think a lot of people, we've had a lot of feedback on this show, on other nights, when we have nights where a lot of callers come in. A lot of people are going through that right now, Margaret. And, maybe they've seen a job end, and, they're kind of waiting for guidance as to what to do next. And, maybe you can offer just some reassurances to the people who are listening. Some of them are at home because, they're unemployed and listening to us. And it's, very common right now.
Yes, well, I can very much acknowledge and honor that there is a period of time where we have to, for lack of a better way of putting it, maybe perhaps roll around in the mud for a little while. But then,
yeah.
At some point, we do need to get ourselves out of those sweatpants that we may have been in for about a week or two,
mm-hmm.
and get ourselves up off of the couch and reconnect with who are you? What do you want to do? What have you always wanted to do that you would always say, someday, if only I had
mm-hmm.
the time. And to take those steps to just do it. Because I learned from wise men and women, especially my father taught me this. You don't know until you try. So if there's something that you've always wanted to do, whether it's make a beautiful meal, make a pretty garden, write a book, start a business, just do it. Take steps to even fantasize about it and write a business plan or even journal about it, and you watch the magic unfold as we step into what our true divine purpose is. Because if something catapulted you out of your job that you were in, you probably were even saying things like, oh, I don't like this, or I don't like the way someone talks to me. I mean, I'm sure we manifested. Like, I know I manifested getting out of my job. I just didn't realize it till retrospect. Retrospect is very powerful.
Yeah, and you know, I feel the same way. I mean, I was actually working on an executive floor. I had kind of reached, I often look back on it. I wasn't an executive. I was in charge of a engineering communications for a company worldwide, but I come from an engineering background, but it was as if that part of my life reached its culmination. It's like, okay, I've accomplished everything I want to accomplish in this area. Did you feel that way? Did you feel like, you know, when you look back on it, you say, okay, that chapter of my life reached its goal in a way, you know, maybe not all the goals. And then now I'm on to the next chapter, which is even more fulfilling. It certainly is for me, and it sounds like it is for you.
Oh, definitely, yeah. 25 years later, you know, I started my business 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I did take a while to realize that. You know, I would love to be able to say I was more conscious in that moment. I did know facets of it, and I definitely was good at putting together. Well, if I want, you know, when I decided to go ahead and just give it a go, you know, give it a try, I was clear on what I wanted it to look like, feel like, be like, what kind of products I would carry, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't know it was unfolding into a more of a spiritual center than it is. It ended up becoming that. But, you know, I didn't know that in the moment. And many people go into, have much more conscious than I was back when I was 30 years old, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, for me, all of this is still more recent. And so I think that, you know, I guess I'm looking at, I don't know, what is it, 6 years now since that job ended, which isn't that much time. And I still sort through it. You know, you still have some regret at times. And it takes perseverance. I mean, I'm doing something similar. You know, I'm not a store, but I mean, I'm stepping out into entrepreneurship, and I'm really owning it, and I'm dedicated. But it takes some trial and error. I mean, I guess that was the biggest, the most disillusioning thing for me is, you know, I kind of expected it just to all just be a miracle right from the start. I guess when I started, I had that feeling, and it took some time, and I had to try some things, and maybe that thing really wasn't what I wanted to do. I had to let go of some things that I was holding on to that maybe wasn't my passion, and I'm still settling in on what my passion is. Do you think that's common?
Yes, I do. I think, and I really also don't think that there's anything wrong with that, because if it also, if you're talking about something, let's say, that provides a source of income, I still do parts of my, I do things that are not related to the business that we're talking about now and what I do for life and living primarily, that still bring income from another source, and I'm responsible for it because it's family-associated businesses. So I run a whole other set of seven different hats that I wear that aren't even associated with what we're talking about today. So, and I never let that go also because I'm responsible to my family.
Yeah, and I understand that. In fact, I even took a contract kind of in the software industry a couple months ago, and somewhat thinking, although it was a little bit hard. I mean, I'm still working through this. I have to be honest with you. As we talk about this, I'm still trying to figure out how to integrate all this together. How much, because I feel the same way. I mean, we all have a responsibility. I'm a mother, too, there's some balance. You know, I know that I will not give up my passion. I mean, I'm pretty dedicated to go down this spiritual path. But on the other hand, there has to be some balance in that too, doesn't there?
Well, I think so. I think we need to maintain the fact that we still need to pay the mortgage and, you
yes.
know, feed ourselves and our families. You know, in my case, I didn't have children, but I was a primary caregiver for my parents. So
yeah.
that's companies, plural. We do what we have to do, and also try to stay focused on where we're headed, listening to this voice of spirit, however that inner knowingness comes to us based on our, you know, our own personal filters and where we, you know, how we arrive at those truths.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's helpful for people to know that, you know, a lot of people right now are trying to discover their true path. And I guess in many cases, we all are to a degree, but especially now, I think that it really is, we're sharing this experience, a lot of us, and many of us are trying things we never had time to try before. And I think that's one of the gifts. I wouldn't be doing this radio show if I was still in that job. There is no way. First of all, I wouldn't have been ready to do it. Second of all, I just wouldn't have had the time. So, you know, we find things that we're able to really make our passion. Now, I want to bring us back full circle and also remind the listeners out there, because I see some of you in the chat room, welcome, that we do have a call-in number today. It's 310-807-5104. And, you know, we can take some phone calls in a little bit if you have some questions based on what we're going to talk about. I'd like to come back around to this topic of crystals. I will tell you that I grew up in Colorado, and I tended to collect rocks and actually really liked all the rock stores out there because there were a lot of them up in the mountains. And so I would buy a lot of rocks, or some of them I would find. Some of them were gifts that I just collected over the years without really knowing, and still don't really know to much degree, what they can do for us. What can crystals do for us? It seems so mysterious to some of us. You know, how is it that crystals and stones can really have an impact on us?
So, you know, first I want to speak to the fact that sometimes we just collect rocks because they're pretty. You know, I really want to honor that. You know, they look pretty, they make us feel good. Because when you know, it just is such, they're so beautiful. And my first rock collection was established when I visited the Arvada area back in, when I was 6 years old on a family trip. And so I love that, you know, and I return to Colorado often because of the International New Age Trade Shows. But in regard to answering that question about what crystals do for us, what they do for us is they become tools. They're not doing anything outside of our own intention and thought form patterns. In other words, the way I see it is there are certain colors and vibrations associated with certain gemstones based on where they grow, how they grow. Sometimes they have the way they're shaped, let's say. And if you match some of the underlying intentions behind what color and shape and, you know, what the mineral is about, like what actual mineral composition is inside of there from a geological standpoint, then you match that with certain beliefs, thought forms. Now, what I'm talking about is the setting of intention. Okay, we all have, as human beings, we all have more often incessant chatter. We have thought forms that are going round and round and round in our consciousness, often unfortunately associated with negative thought patterns, worry, concerns. Why did so-and-so say this? Will this happen? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get a job? Blah, blah, blah. We go on and we worry, right? And so what happens is, because I believe, and, you know, I don't want to ever impose my belief systems on others, but I'd like to share that what we think about creates our reality. And because thoughts are things and they vibrate out, we're constantly broadcasting what we're creating in our life based on our belief systems and what we're thinking about, then we might as well put good thoughts out there, have good feelings, like I am so grateful that my perfect life purpose is becoming clear to me now, versus I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, a gemstone, if you know that you want to dedicate a gemstone to, you know, perfect career or perfect work or life purpose, being clear to you, then every time you look at that gemstone, every time you touch that gemstone, or even think of it, or the color of clothes you wear, because I also do this with how we, you know, environment and clothing.
Didn't know that.
It's
interesting.
Cool. And so there's so much to this, but basically they're tools to remind us of what we do want, not what we don't want.
You know, that's a really interesting, just to segue a little bit into the clothing thing, I have noticed that when you wear certain colors, you feel like a million bucks. You know, some colors, if I happen to wear just the right thing, it projects, and you're walking around, you're feeling so good, and yet other colors that are probably not right, I mean, you just, it doesn't work. How do you explain that? I mean, I know that there used to be traditional ways, like, oh, that your skin tone goes with a certain color, but it seems more than that. It seems energetic.
It is energetic, and yes, absolutely. Our you know, our colors have to do with the color of our skin and the color of our hair, our natural, you know, that winter, spring, autumn thing. That does play into it, no doubt. I'm much better in jewel tones. No doubt. But the bottom line, I believe, really has to do with the energy centers of the body. You know, based on ancient philosophies like Hinduism and Chinese medicine, there are centers, chakra centers, energy centers of the body. And this is not only the physical body, but also the mental body, the emotional body, as well as the spiritual body. We know we have thoughts, so that's the mental body. We know we have feelings, that's the emotional body. And the spiritual body, hopefully we know we have a connection with all that is, God, Goddess, Creator, whatever we want to call that universal life force. And then we obviously can see our physical body. We can feel it from a different way, you know. So all these energy centers, there's colors associated with them. So, you know, I feel fabulous in cobalt blue. Like, that is my color, man. Just, like, put that on. I have, like, probably 6 shirts in my closet that are cobalt. Some of them are identical, because when I go on national book tour, I want to have plenty in case, like, so. And I, that's my best go-to color. So that's because I'm very much a communicator and want to be very tuned in and connected with higher consciousness, which is more of what's called the third eye and even throat chakra, chakra's color. So it's associated with the energy centers of the body.
Yes. You know, I have to interject something about your book, which I know is said to be for children but also beginners, is that sometimes you jump into, I don't know, more advanced books on the topic of chakras, for example, and if you haven't been studying it for a long time, you can get kind of lost. And I have to tell you, I have to admit, your book really helped me just by, it's a gentle introduction that, you know, explains some things to a child, but, you know, to our inner child. So it was actually, it reached me as well, how you explain the chakras in that book. And I wanted to note that it, you know, anyone who wants a basic explanation, it's in your book.
Well, thank you for seeing that. You know, I didn't know that that was going to happen. And then, you know, I geared it to ages 7 to 12. That was my primary focus. And I made sure that as young as 7 could understand the majority of the principles and the words I used through actually practicing with kids, you know, having them read the book with me. And then with the what happened was, once I got the book, and I started, you know, because I had an early copy to look at and show off.
Yes.
My customers, because I teach a lot of classes, you know, I teach a lot of events. And while I was sharing, and I would say, oh, look at my new book, isn't it beautiful? And they're like, oh, forget about the kids, I want this. And
see?
It's definitely for a very beginner level. It's very easy to read. And then, of course, for kids, because it's not a lot for that age group. That pre-adolescent age, you're no longer a little tiny kid, and you're not quite a teen, and it's a hard time, I think. I think it's quite a transitionary time For little ones, and their, I like that it helps them with their self-esteem. A lot of it has to do with how they can use color and gemstones to realign with positive thoughts and how to deal with life issues.
Yes, and I like how, you know, right at the start you say, here's what a visualization is, and you know, this is an intention, and it's just really clear, and you are so right. You have hit upon an age group, you know, having being a mother myself, now my son is a teen, but it seems like a lot of the books, they're either too young, you know, they just have really basic material, or too advanced, and there's nothing in between. And so I think you really did sense the pulse, so to speak, of that age group. Do you think, Margaret, I've had a couple other guests on the show where we've talked about the new kids and how these kids now are just so much more attuned to higher spiritual concepts. Are you sensing that? And do you sense that in the kids coming into your store and, you know, the kids who you feel, maybe all kids can respond to this, but I'm just curious, do you think that they're tending to be more intuitive?
I think if their parents notice it and their parents are open to that, that's more than likely true. In some cases, it's the child that awakens the parent to develop their spiritual gifts and spirituality and connect with, you know, their what I call the six clairs, their intuition, all the different levels and types of intuition. You know, we have six senses, and those six senses also apply on a more, let's call it, for lack of a better way of putting it, a supernatural level. You know, sometimes we just know what we know, and we don't know why we know. Well, that's clear consciousness. So because children are still tapped into being able to be, you know, either heavenly realm or the other side, whatever you want to call that, they just came there. I call it, they're pretty fresh out of heaven, so they're just going to remember some of this stuff. So they might see spirit. They might see an angel. They might be able to see the loved one who just passed over, and the parent thinks, oh, my gosh, my kid's nuts, you know, whatever, and they're not. They're just, they don't have as many filters as we do, because once we're socialized, then we have a tendency to block out or say that's just your imagination, where I grew up in a household where that wasn't the case. I was very much, we didn't see spirit, and I don't like to do that either, but, you know, it was encouraged. Our intuition was encouraged. We you know, interpreted dreams on a very natural, normal basis, and so there were certain things that were common, even though I was very Roman Catholic upbringing. All these other things were also brought into it, even talking to plants. I was talking to plants since I was a little girl.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I have found that the more I broaden my own studies, the more I come full circle to certain things, because I was raised very conservatively in an evangelical household, but I can't say we necessarily did things like dream interpretation. I can't really remember that, but yet that's in the Bible. I mean, there's actually dream interpretation in the Bible. In fact, a lot of things are out there that, you know, I had thought the other day that the saints, we didn't have that in my tradition, but I have known a lot of Catholics that connect with the saints, and it's very similar to people on a more New Age path, using that term very broadly, connecting with spirit and seeking guidance and assistance. And so there just seems to be a lot of commonality, even though we're not nearly as divided or different as we think. It's just sometimes we can get a strong dose of fear. I mean, I've always been a little cautious regarding spirit stuff, although I've become a little more open to that over time. But that's just because when I was young, you know, I was taught to be afraid of some of that, you know, bad things could happen. And so, you know, I'm still cautious.
And that is true. Bad things can happen. We have to be discerning. Just like you choose your friends wisely and who you let in your home, same thing with spirit. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, only, like, the highest levels of consciousness are allowed to connect with me. And it's not even on with that. We have we have free will, so we can allow who we want and who we don't want in our space. So, you know, I would go with the saints and the angels kind of stuff, and God and Jesus the Christ and Buddha and Krishna and that level. I'm not talking to, you know, maybe Joe that was the bar, you know, hung out at the bar at the end of the street. That didn't have wisdom, and not that a person that hangs out at a bar doesn't have wisdom, but you know, I'm just using it as an analogy, you know.
Right. I have to say I've been asked time and time again, you know, by some people who really are very well meaning, you know, to steer clear of demons and, you know, things that they view very darkly. And I kind of have come to my own conclusion. Yes, I want to avoid lower vibrational. I'm learning that term, lower vibrational. I don't know if I want to call them entity, whatever they are, they're just as confused to me as someone who may be caught up in darkness and the earth. They're just, you know, they're just not in physical form, and that we have confused people who are in darkness here, and it seems like, but I see God everywhere. I know that we are protected and we are safe because God's omnipresent. That's always my reassurance.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true, and you're absolutely right about that, whether it's a physical person or a person who's already on the other side. And if someone's wandering around and bothering you from the other side on a really regular basis, then that is something that needs to be sent back to the light and somebody to pray for to help them home, at least from my perspective. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I actually believe in that. I believe that that can happen. I have no doubt of it that can occur, and that people have been guided to the light and that they get stuck. We have a question from the chat room, which I wanted to convey to you, which may launch us into a little more detailed discussion of the colors and the crystals. The question is, how do you know your colors? Number one, there's two parts to this person's question. How do you know your colors, and how do you know which crystals?
Okay, so to know your colors is first to understand colors, or if you're always attracted to, I'm going to say purple, then that's your color at this time. Remember when we were little and that get to know you question was, what's your favorite color? And I, you know, mine was red when I was little. But now, in fact, my author photo that you have on your website is I'm wearing a red shirt. It's one of my, was my most favorite color. But now blue is my favorite color because I grow and change. So we know our colors based on knowing oneself, knowing yourself. You know what colors you like. And then as far as picking crystals, I, you know, feel that the best way to pick a gemstone is to go with what you're drawn to without reading, you know, from my essential guide to crystals, minerals, and stones, or reading from Color Your Life with Crystals or Chakra Awakening. You don't have to, although, of course, I want you to read all my books. But you don't have to even do that. What you could do is just choose the color, the gemstone that draws your attention. If you go to a rock shop or a New Age store, metaphysical type store, and you go where all the tumbled stones are, let your eye fall to where it may, because it's like, oh, this is so pretty. And then look it up in the book and see what it says, and you will be pleasantly surprised as to why you were attracted to that. So I want to ask that wonderful chat room person a question. What color is she drawn to, or what is her favorite gemstone if she knows either one? And I can give her a little insight as to why.
Okay, you hear that yap, yap? That's her, or his. I can't tell if it's a he or a she. Yap, yap is purple. And can you tell us if you're a he or a she? Are you comfortable doing that? Only if you are, you can tell us.
So purple. So now, did you notice I said purple?
And rose quartz. They said purple and rose quartz.
And I used purple as the example. Did you notice that?
I am a girl, she says.
Yeah. Okay.
So you sense that, right? You're intuitive, you know.
I do. I knew the purple was what she was connected with because I try to tap into their highest good only if this, you know, if they want me to know. And so that purple vibration is showing me that she probably is in a place of wanting to get to know the magical, mystical aspects of life and how to tap into her higher levels of consciousness. Otherwise, she might not be as drawn to this particular subject matter also. So that sort of makes sense, even from a logical standpoint. But because purple is associated with the crown chakra and the third eye center, so that's the upper connection with the divine, it signals that all you have to do is intend that you're connected with the divine. I call it aligned with the divine, to receive messages and guidance from God, Goddess, Creator, the angels, whatever, you know, high spiritual form you wish to allow to bring guidance to you from, inspiration. And then as far as the, rose quartz.
Rose quartz, yes.
Yeah, that's a beautiful pink gemstone, and it's very much associated with the heart center, and that's a connection with being love, being loving, and also allowing love in our life. So that's just to remember that we are love, and all that is attracted to us, and all that surrounds us is love. And when we can remember that, our life flows so much easier.
Okay, well, I hope that was helpful for you, Yap Yap. If anyone else in the chat has a question, feel free to ask, or even if you venture to call, I invite you to call in at 310-807-5104. I have a question that I have wondered about. A good friend of mine who's been on the metaphysical path for a long time used to very carefully do different things to clear crystals, like put them under the moonlight. I honestly don't even know all the things that my friend did, and she may even be listening to this probably in the podcast and laughing a little bit, but she knows that I'm learning about some of this. Can you explain to us, Margaret, when, say you find, I mean, I don't know, do you need to energetically do things with crystals that you receive or that you buy or find?
You can. I think it doesn't hurt, just like you're going to wash, probably you wash a piece of clothing before you wear it, and you clean off the table after you eat, you know, you wash your floor or your body. Similarly, energetically, you can clear crystals and gemstone jewelry as well. So this I'll share is not only about cleaning a crystal or clearing negative energy out of a crystal, but also clearing your sacred space, your environment, your car, wherever there might be thought forms or energies lingering from prior situations that no longer apply. So one simple way that doesn't cost any money at all, and you don't need to buy anything from anybody, is to just use your breath and your intention. And holding the gemstone or looking at the space that you want to clear, you can inhale, and then on the held breath, form the intent to clear. And then on the exhalation, a pulsed breath through the nose, you can clear that space just by forcefully pulsing the breath and then intending the space is clear. Now, I personally like to use my smudge and spray, a product I created that is so loved around, you know, the U.S. and Canada and Mexico. And it's made of essential oils and other sacred site essences and holy waters. But also some people like to use sage and cedar. And you can either use sage and cedar as an essential oil spray, similar to my smudge and spray, which is much more than just that. Or you can also burn sage. It's just that it's, you know, it's been smoky. You can't do that in an airport. You can't do that in a hotel or a classroom. A lot of teachers and nurses use smudge and spray in their environment. And in an office building, so people carry it, you know, it's easy. So you can use herbs and plants is my point, whether it's aromatherapy or burning something. Just like some churches use frankincense or copal or myrrh or other incense to clear. So you can do it that way. Now, some people like to do it. There are other ways that some people like to use, like they like to use salt. I don't personally, because it can ruin the finish or the polish. of the stone,
yeah.
that it doesn't hurt if you just dip it quickly. And, I mean, I could go on. That could be just one whole radio show on how to clear.
It's true. And, you know, the more you talk, the more questions I have, because you're a bastion of knowledge. And I have to tell the listeners, if you go to Margaret's website, which is up there on the show page, MargaretAnnLembo.com, really easy to find. The diversity of classes that you offer is really interesting, because it shows just how many different areas. I mean, I'm intrigued by so many. I mean, connecting to the divine feminine and, you know, the Akash. I noticed you mentioned the Akashic field, tapping into that. And then even just oracle cards, which a lot of us, you know, I do have some oracle cards myself, and actually I'm attracted to yours. I don't have yours in my possession now, but I think I will, because they look very interesting, and they sound like they're up for some kind of award too. If I read that right on one of your pages, is that true?
Yes, it already won awards, and it, right now it's nominated for. Oracle card deck of by about.com. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think that the voting might have closed, but it also won an award with a visionary award back mm-hmm. when I first published it. Chakra Awakening and the Angel Gemstone Oracle cards both launched, both were birthed around the same time in April 2011, and both of those are award winning. I'm so grateful for that. So, yes, they're very fun, because on one side it has a picture of the gemstone and my phrase, like some oracle, some divination of what you might be experiencing if you were drawn to or picked this card. It also adds some divine guidance on what to do about it. And then when you flip the card over, the other side gives an angel that will help you with some positive thought forms to do that, to
yeah.
put it, you know, put into practice that divine guidance. It's also available as an iPhone and Android app, as well as the actual physical deck, which is fun to have the physical deck. But, you know, as a virtual deck, it's also profound.
Yeah, and I was impressed by that, by the way, because not everybody has ventured into that yet, and yet you're kind of going into that brave new world of having that available in an app. I mean, I don't know how many others are doing that, but I hadn't seen it a lot. And I found that to be impressive that you've done that to make it available to people.
There are some others out there, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, man, I want an app for my phone cards too. So I wish I was the original person that did that, but I would have to say I copied from the first person that did that.
Well, we all share. You know what, though? I still think it's something that's spreading, you know, that it hasn't totally taken off with all these decks yet. But I think that's great, you know, whether we share in someone else's inspiration or however we pick these things up. I was impressed because, you know, sometimes we're looking for guidance, and all we have is our phone. And, you know, all of us are in places at times where it would not be convenient, or, you know, maybe we would feel self-conscious, you know, to pull out a deck. I mean, you're not always in a place where you can do that, but you have your phone, right?
That's right. I don't know what you're looking at, so you just open your
yeah.
app and you take your phone, and it shuffles the cards when you shake it, and you can double tap on the card and it will turn it over for you so you can read the other side. It's very cool, and there's even a guided meditation that goes with it. But it's also, like you said, it is nice to have the actual deck, but it's also fun to have it in the phone as well.
Yeah, it's a neat idea. Even, you know, wherever it came from, I'm glad that you picked up on that, because I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, I had a question. And, oh, by the way, the gal from the chat does thank you very much. She wanted me to let you know that. So she's
very welcome.
Yeah. I had a question about aromatherapy. Okay. I'm going to tell you an experience I had, which was it was actually probably something you wouldn't recommend. And I guess this is I was at an expo, okay, and I just walked up to a booth, and I happen to be the type of person who can be a little bit sensitive allergy-wise, and so I have to be careful. Gentle things work. And, well, somebody, without asking my permission, just dabbed something on my wrist, and it was really strong. And I had the heck of a time. Now, first of all, that wasn't a very high vibrational thing to do because you should never do that without asking permission. But it then made me a little bit cautious, you know, about some of these things because I was really allergic after that. I mean, it was hard, and it was almost like Lady Macbeth. I was in the bathroom trying to get it off, and I couldn't, you know, because it goes into your skin. So my question, if you are somewhat sensitive to some things, are there gentle things out there? I know you talk a lot about these essential oils and things. I would imagine we all vary in how we respond to different scents. And can you tell me, Margaret, are there things for people like me who are a little bit sensitive? You know, perfume I can't really wear, or, you know, strong perfume. If someone has strong perfume, it's hard for me. If I get in an elevator, I can almost be a little asthmatic. Could you tell me what you would advise?
Yes, I'd love to. First of all, I want to mention that it's likely that whatever somebody put on you, if you couldn't get it off of your skin, might not have been real medical grade essential oils. And what I'm talking about with aromatherapy are the real deal. Real, like if you're dealing with lavender, it's not the smell of lavender, it's actually lavender.
Uh-huh.
And there is a big difference. Real medical grade oils have real chemical components that are from the plant itself. Now, I think most people, and not everyone, are usually not allergic to essential oils. Now, that's not always the case, but, you know, there might be someone who, no matter how high a quality of essential oil it is, they might have a reaction. I can't say that because I don't know their health background. But
right. It's impossible. Yeah, I know.
The high majority don't have a reaction. So real essential oils, you're okay with, and you don't have to put them on the skin to actually get the benefits. It's through the olfactory nerve that sends it to the limbic system of the brain that allows that response that we need to assist us, whether it's to calm us down or to help us to breathe more deeply. You know, frankincense is an amazing tool for helping to breathe deeply and not get an, and to actually alleviate the symptoms of asthma. Same thing with eucalyptus. That is, and Ravensara. There's a number, and there's even great essential oils that are good for reducing the blood pressure, like clary sage and sweet marjoram. You just have to be mindful that if you're taking medicine, these are real chemical components and can affect you. So you just have to do your research before you start slathering oils on yourself.
Right. Well, I felt like, and I've been tested for asthma, and I don't really have it. It's just that I can get, you know, it can strain my breathing. And I was just thinking that, you know, there are probably people out there who are somewhat hesitant, you know, just because they've had some sensitivity. Like if someone's wearing strong perfume, a lot of us can respond to that. And that my hope is that there is a gentle way. And it sounds like there really is. And I have to say, I've had experiences where I didn't know what it was. I'd be at an expo, or I go to expos fairly often, and someone will have like spritzed their area with something. And I walk through and it's like, you know, I don't know how to quite explain it. It doesn't restrict my breathing. It's the opposite. It's like, you know, you walk into that space and you almost feel, you know, it just feels wonderful, you know, and you can breathe. So I know it's possible. I just haven't figured it out myself. And so I find this very interesting.
Well, that's because that was probably real essential oil versus And so I even have a reaction to scented candles and fake scents, like when people do those plug-ins from that place that I won't say the name of that company. All those aromatherapy, those products are not aromatherapy because what I perceive as aromatherapy. They're fragrances that are chemicals that are synthetic. That's different than extraction.
Well, I'm glad you're addressing this because I think that there probably are a large number of people, maybe not large, but there certainly are people who are a little hesitant just because of what you say. You know, we may have been exposed to things that are nothing like aromatherapy. Like we're sensitive to these candles. Yeah, I can be. But that's not the real deal, is what you're saying. And I think that's really important for people to know that, to be reassured. And there's so much to learn in that area. And, you know, I have no question that what happened to me at that one expo, I mean, that was clearly a violation of boundaries. I mean, I was even a little worried, like, what the heck did this person put on me? But thankfully, I didn't have, like, any, you know, odd effects beyond just breathing. But that's pretty unusual for someone to violate your space like that and
that's
put something
true.
On you. But even if you voluntarily tried it, I mean, who knows? Like you said, just like the spirits, I guess you got to be discerning. You know, if you're at an expo and you're going through a booth, and make sure it's the real deal, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Yes, that's absolutely the truth. So, you know, there is that possibility if people want to go look at real medical grade essential oils. It is, I do have some on my website when you go to the store portion of my site. But also I teach aromatherapy courses as webinars as well as live and in person here in South Florida and sometimes as I travel on book tour. So there are ways to learn more about it, and I should be having a book coming out. I don't know when it's going to actually release because I still have to write it, but I'll be writing about aromatherapy in the very near future.
Uh-huh. Well, I think we'll all be very curious what you have to say, given the level of your experience. And you certainly have had quite a bit of success with your writing in the past. I think many of us admire that as well, who, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get a book out, and you seem to really be in the flow, and I admire that.
Thank you. There are plenty of good books on aromatherapy out there. So it's worth looking things up before you play with essential oils.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I knew this show would go by fast, and we're not quite to the end, but I was just wondering if you might like to talk about anything you have upcoming. And do you ever go to any expos or anything like that where people may find you? Say when you go on book tour, do you have anything coming up, Margaret, that's coming up in the near future where you'll be venturing out or even down in Miami?
I do. No, I don't live near Miami. I live about 60 miles north of Miami.
Okay, so I've got it wrong. It's so Boynton Beach is not in the Miami area. Am I wrong then?
I live in Palm Beach County, Palm Beach.
Okay, well, I got really... Okay, well, then we better clarify.
No problem. So Boynton Jazz in the southeast. It's in Palm Beach County near Boca Raton and West Palm Beach, right
okay.
there. I'll be traveling to 11 states on national book tour. So I'll be, of course, here in Florida, Richmond, Virginia, Atlanta, Georgia, Andover, Massachusetts, back to Del Rey, and then back up to Pittsburgh and Albany, New York area. I'll be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Belleville, Illinois, Colorado Springs, Lakewood, Denver, Kansas City, Missouri, Topeka, Overland Park, Kansas, and back to Atlanta and St. Petersburg, Florida, and a few places that aren't firmed up yet. So I'll be busy.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I asked because, you know, we do have listeners from all over, and so it's very possible you'll be coming through their neck of the woods there. So I'm really glad I asked you.
Me too. And if they want to go see, just go to margaretannlembo.com and click on book tour, and they can see exactly when and even radio shows. You'll see your radio show is on the top of the list because I'm talking to you today.
Well, I certainly welcome that. Thank you. Now, you have kind of what about an online outreach? Do you have, beyond your website, do you have, I think I saw something about a spiritual academy, something that you're working on. I wonder if you could talk about that a little.
Oh, thank you for asking that. You know, besides my wonderful, loving Facebook interactions, which I do a lot, I have the Academy of the Spiritual Arts, which is just literally Academy of the Spiritual Arts. .com. And it's an, you know, it sounds like such a sales pitch, but I'll say it. $9.99 a month. You do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I do 1 hour workshop a month, and then there's a library that members of the Academy can go and listen to past webinars. And if you can't make it on the night that I'm doing it live or the day that I'm doing it live, you can always access the library to listen at your convenience. So it's all online, and it's really fun. It's a great way because people meet me around the country, and then they kept on telling me, I want to come to your classes, but you're in Palm Beach County, Florida, and I can't get there. And
so that way we at least stay connected, you know. It's lovely, and they really appreciate it, and so do I.
I'll put that up on the show page. For those of you listening to the podcast, you'll be able to see it up there as well, just so that I actually believe, you know, when people come on the show, I feel that you're adding great value to just explaining so many of these things, which we can only touch the surface of. But at the same time, I think, you know, energetically, it's perfectly appropriate for you to let us know where we can find out about the things you're doing and things like the Academy. It gives back. You know, it goes both ways because you can benefit us and, you know, we energetically assist each other. So thank you for explaining that.
It was just because I was going to say for $9.99.
I know. And you know, when we have these radio shows, we're so careful. We don't want it to seem like we're running some kind of infomercial or anything like that. I mean, it's I think it's pretty clear. It's energetic, you know. We're all wanting to learn about this, and we want to support each other. I mean, that's part of it, too. You know, we can all learn from each other. And I think it's just this great community. So I'm glad you let us know about that.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a minimal fee anyway. I was just playing with you.
Yeah. I know. We are getting close to the end of the show. And I wonder, you know, if you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave the audience with. You know, there's just such a depth to what you've studied and can share. You know, we could talk for 3 hours, I think, but is there anything that you'd like to leave us with today that we should carry forward with us?
Yes, I would. Thank you for asking that. I love when people ask me that question, and I've actually opened my book, Color Your Life with Crystals, Your First Guide to Crystals, Colors, and Chakras, to the chapter 4 on green and pink energy. And this is a part of the first paragraph. And this is what I want to leave everybody with. You are love. All that you are and all that you do, say, feel, think, smell, taste, or know is love. Remember that truth, and you will be happy and healthy all of your life.
And you, wow, you just opened to that? That's really beautiful.
I opened to it on purpose because I love it.
Oh, okay. I thought you opened to it randomly, but even on purpose, that's good. I mean, thank you. Thank you so much, Margaret. Thank you for being here with us today. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad to know about your work now because I think many of us will be really interested to explore all that you've done and that you're doing and what's coming next because you're really in the flow. I mean, there's just so many things that you're bringing to us. And I just want to thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the work that you're doing on the planet, continuing to give this kind of broadcasting to help people. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a great, I guess you're heading almost to evening here, you know, thank you again for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Okay, in our final seconds here, I'm just going to give a quick preview of what's coming up. Next week, I have Dr. Robert Foreman is returning to the show. He's quite a favorite. He is a comparative religions professor, and he's the author of Enlightenment 8, What It's Cracked Up to Be. And we're looking forward to having Robert back on the show again next Wednesday, a week from today, March. Well, actually, no, we're Thursday. That's right. We're doing a Thursday show today. But it will be a Wednesday show next week, March 27th, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And I do want to let people know this show is expanding. I am getting a number of wonderful guests coming my way. And so what you're going to see are more broadcasts, and I have a rather novel approach in that these broadcasts will appear at different times. This show isn't always going to be the same day, same time. It's going to be at different times because that then makes me even more able to bring on a wide variety of guests as well as welcome different live audiences because I know that at different times of day, different people are available. And so I just wanted to let you know that. And I do welcome all the podcast listeners. And I know that your energy is here with us. I actually had someone write to me in the past couple of weeks and really affirm that not always do we note that people are listening to this show in the future. And yet those of us who are really aware of the spiritual nature of reality know that there are no boundaries of time. So you are as much with me in this moment while I am speaking right now, as any time, it doesn't matter when you're listening to this show, whether it's next week or even a few years from now, you are here with me in this moment, and I am here with you. And it's a somewhat profound concept, and yet it's also a very simple concept because it all has to do with being aware. So I just wanted to let you know that I am very appreciative that you are spending time here with us, and I appreciate your energy around this show. And if you would like to learn about the show, about past and future broadcasts, I invite you to go to www.frontierbeyondfear.com, and I will continue to expand that website to actually include, we're getting so many past guests now, I'm feeling called to add some indexing there. So you will soon be seeing a subject-based listing. And also, if a guest has come on multiple times, because we're getting more and more returning guests and more are coming on the show coming up, you'll be able to find them more readily. So I do welcome you to that page. And if you feel so called to do so and would like to help support the maintenance costs of the show, I do very much welcome that as well. And there is a place where you can help with that too that you can find on that webpage, www.frontierbeyondfear.com. And with that said, I do want to wish you all peace in your spirit whenever this show finds you. I hope that you will, whatever you're facing in your life right now, that you will be at peace, that there is always a higher outcome, and that you will find your path. You may be on it, you may feel that you're fully on it, or maybe you feel like you're just starting to find it, or maybe you even feel a little bit lost right now. And however you feel, know that, just as Margaret said in her message, you are loved, you are supported, and everything is working together for you to find your higher purpose. So please feel that in your hearts today. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you next time.